Hello and welcome to our weekly blither. This is Neil from Kintore. Welcome you all to this part of the service to say that at Kintore next Sunday, we'll be hosting a special service focusing on climate change and COP26 led by our friends from We Are Tear Fund and Christian Aid. So look forward to seeing that you there next week. Over to Sheila in Echt and Midmar.
Good morning, everybody, and good morning to the folk in Echt and Midmar. Worship there this morning is being led by members of the congregation while I'm leading worship at Chapel of Geary. And our service next Sunday morning will be in Midmar Church, where we'll be celebrating communion. So it's over to Clooney and Monnie Musk with Ewan.
Hello, folks. Just a quick intimation to say next Sunday, we resume worship at Monnie Musk at 10 o'clock. Where the Sunday school will meet, and we'll also have a blessing. So we're looking to have a cool church next Sunday, which will be lovely. And now over to Stella across at Redbath Chapel of Geary.
Hello to everyone from the north end of the group. Just a little bit of news. We've published a newsletter, and that'll be available from your elders. But on the back page, we've included all of the information from all of the group. So if you do want a copy or just that page, you can give a shout to someone from Blair Daff. And we're having communion on the first Sunday of November in Chapel of Geary Church. So we look forward to welcoming you there. And now over to our friend, Reverend Tozi Shayamunda.
Okay, thank you. Last Sunday I was in Kimini. I enjoyed, I was welcomed very well. This Sunday, I will be preaching in Kindoa. Hope to fellowship well there. Thank you. I now end over. Let's continue with our worship.
Hello and welcome to worship. I'm glad that you have joined with us today. In our blether last week, I teased you by saying that we might have a different format for our service today because it's the fifth Sunday of the month, and it's our intention or hope that we will do different things when there's a fifth Sunday of the month. And this Sunday, we are simply going to have a praise service, songs of praise. Each of the participants are going to choose a hymn from a prescribed list. We have a wide-ranging list of hymns that we have copyright permission to use, and I'm grateful to Kemeny Church for putting that together. And we have chosen hymns from that list, and each of the participants will tell you why they've chosen it and why they like it. I've chosen for our opening hymn, a great hymn of praise from the hymn book 160, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. And I've chosen that hymn because praise is central to the life and history of Monnie Musk Church. It might surprise you to know that Monnie Musk Church was instrumental in changing the form of church worship from the congregation singing viewpoint. Until the mid-1700s, it was common practice in the Reformed Church for a presenter to sing one line and the congregation to repeat it back. And there was only a very limited amount of tunes. In fact, the records show that there was only 12 usual tunes ever sung. And the story has it that the local laird, Sir Archibald Grant, was fed up singing 12 tunes and heard of a choir master in the armed forces after the 1745 uprising, and he employed Thomas Channing to be a choir master, and he introduced new forms of worship based on his Methodist tradition. Indeed, the founder of the Methodist Church, when visiting Monnie Musk to preach, said that the singing of the choirs could not be matched by any of the cathedral choirs in England. It was so spectacular. And so music became part of the life of our church. But the strange thing is, when the choir was practicing, in the choir, the records show that members came from Monnie Musk, Kintore, and Fintry. So even back then, we were working collaboratively together. They couldn't practice during the week singing the words of the psalm. They had to make up their own the words. And there's a famous one, the Cedar's Cat, which I'm not going to read to you, but one that's more local. How lovely is thy dwelling place. The practice words were, how lovely is thy dwelling place, Sir Archie, grant to me. The home park and the policies, how pleasant, sir, they be. So this new form of worship was introduced, and the choirs went round the whole of the Northeast, sharing their type of music and encouraging congregations to try it out. Indeed, I'm told that in 1755, when the Kirk of St. Nicholas was reopened, they invited the choir to come and sing. But it didn't go down all that well. And I'm quoting, and I have to be careful, I'm not very good at this. They didn't like the Mr. Channon's use of a pitch pipe to ensure precision. And they termed it, and I quote, newfangled profanation of the Sabbath. So it took a bit of time for this new type of worship to come in. It always seems to take time for any new ways to work in our church. But we have gathered to worship God, to sing praise to him on this Songs of Praise Day. And so our opening hymn, let's sing together, Praise My Soul, the King of
Let us pray. God, we praise you that you hold each and every one of our lives in the palm of your hand. You are the God who formed us and shaped us into the people we are. You are the God who knows us better than we know ourselves. You are the God who loves us, even the bits that aren't always that easy to love. You are the God who sustains us, and in whom we live and move and have our being. Holy One, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all that we are and hope to be, and you are worthy of all our praise.
And as we offer you our praise today, so too we seek your forgiveness and understanding. Forgiveness especially for the words we said that we knew were half empty. For our half-hearted commitment to the things that are important to you. For the actions that don't always align with our intentions, and for our hesitancy or reluctance to live by faith. God of grace and infinite understanding, so often we find ourselves in situations akin to St. Paul, where the good we would like to do, we cannot do. In each of our lives, there are things that get in the way of our practical discipleship. And at times we allow our busyness, our differences, our frustrations to get in our way and somehow to conspire against us. Yet, loving God, we come before you in faith. We know that you willingly receive what we have to offer, and we know that you can work miracles with what we choose to lay before you. So today, where we need to be forgiven, forgive us. Where we need to be challenged, challenge us. Where we need to be nudged into action, nudge us. And where we need to be shown the way, lead us. Be amongst us now and remain with us forever. Amen. Our next hymn today is going to be the hymn by the well-known Scottish writer John Bell. It's the words of the hymn, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" And I've chosen it for today, partly because of its strong Scottish connections. John Bell, as I'm sure you'll know, is a Church of Scotland minister. The tune Kelvin Grove is named after an area in Glasgow, and of course the song has connections to the Iona community. John Bell is a long-standing member of the community, and this hymn first appeared in 1987 in one of the publications of hymns and songs from the Iona community. For me, though, it's so much more than that. I think this is a really unique song. It asks a series of 13 questions. It's prophetic, it's challenging, it uses many words not usually found in traditional hymns. We're asked to do things actually not mentioned in any other hymns that I can think of, to leave ourselves behind, to risk the hostile stare, to set the prisoner free, kiss the leper clean. It really is a call to faith and to justice. I think the hymn is a wonderful recognition that faith changes and challenges every single aspect of our life and our believing. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name?
Thank you.
Our reading is from the Book of Revelation. It's one of the great worship scenes at the start of the Book of Revelation, the throne room scene, as the people are drawing near to worship the Lamb. Chapter 5 and verses 1 to 10. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look in it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.'" It's a glorious scene of the one who was slain but is alive, for he has conquered. The hymn that I've chosen for us to sing is the Wesleyan hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." It's this same idea that because of the cross, because of the suffering, because of the one who was slain, the Lamb who was slain, we have reason to give thanks. There are many reasons why ministers enter the ministry. There are many things that cause us to feel called to the ministry. There are lines in this hymn that come very close to expressing something of my understanding of my own calling as a minister. Love so amazing, love so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Well, that's it. That's it. That's why I'm a Christian. That's why I'm a minister. That's why I feel called. It's love so amazing, love so divine, that has called me and has called you. And it demands everything, everything in response, for the Lamb has been slain and the victory is his. So let's sing together hymn 392, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
Thank you.
We are going to get our reading from Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1 to 6. It reads, "You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy I will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say it, will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds amongst the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted, sing praise to the Lord, for he has done graciously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, all inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." We are going to sing hymn 5:1-2, which says, "To God be the glory." When praising the Lord through singing, especially on this hymn, it helps us as children of God to reflect back on our lives. It also challenges us to share the good news with others. At the same time, this hymn 1:5-2 speaks to our lives directly. Now we can join one another as we sing together hymn 5:1-2, "To God be the glory."
Now let us pray. God of hope, your steadfast love endures forever. We give you thanks that time after time you break into the darkness of our world and of our lives with signs of your everlasting love. You bring light. Sometimes the merest flicker that brings us to a focus, other times a brightening glow that confronts us with the reality of your presence. Your love endures through all our doubt and confusion, persisting until we recognize the signs of hope that break through to remind us of your grace, revealing the divine spark in each of us as we were created in love. We thank you, especially at this time, for the skill of scientists and medics, continuing to find ways to live in harmony with creation, harnessing the gifts you have given to find protection from disease. We thank you for all who put the needs of others before themselves, choosing to put another's welfare above their own comfort. We thank you for all whose work continues to ensure that the hungry are fed, the sick are healed, the homeless are sheltered, and the poor are cared for. Those who in their everyday lives show you at work in the world. May our giving thanks, O God, be manifest in our playing our part where we can, for the healing of our world, for love's sake. And now let us say the Lord's Prayer together, and we can share the words which mean so much. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our day, our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I would like to introduce our final hymn of the day, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. It was written by an American lady, Karen Lafferty, in 1971, based on the words from the Gospel of Luke. It does say that God will provide everything that we need, if only we seek to find him first. But more than that, I like it because we sing to praise the Lord. And with the singing of this song in canon, when you can sing the verse and someone can sing the chorus at the same time and vice versa, which you can hear on the chorus on this recording, shows that we can, as Christians, not always be following the exact same route, but living our own lives, but living with each other, and be more than the sum of the separate parts when we can work in harmony. Two different voices, two different parts of the tune, one perfect outcome. And it's also a hymn with such a beautiful melody that you can find yourself humming it right through the week, which is just what you need for a favourite hymn.
Now go in peace. May the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this day and forevermore. Amen. And thanks again for joining with us for our joint service. Goodbye.